Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Thursday, February the 18th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Charlene on with us, Professor Paul, Professor Joe. And we're kind of doing a series to get people open to what possibility we are, what time frame that we are at, should we say, in end times or thereabouts. And I was having a discussion yesterday with Charlene while I was posting my radio shows, and she started reading her opinion of various things. So I'm going to ask you to do that, Charlene. Where we're at in time frame, as far as what is the book of Revelation start, say, with chapter 7 forward, the plagues and so forth, and the mark of the beast, and walk us through here, please. Now,
Revelation.
Folks, she is a nurse. And she went through divinity school. She was going to become a preacher. And God did what to you? Put a screwdriver between your eyeballs and said, no, stop here. I'm going to teach you some truth. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Charlene.
So, and you keep talking about Revelation chapter 6, when the angels opened the four seals. Well, there's seven seals, really. There's four horsemen of the apocalypse. So, here's Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as if there were noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now that is Obama. When Obama was in president, there was a picture of him that he took at the White House, him sitting on the Game of Thrones with a crown on his lap and a bow of on the table with no arrows. That's what this was symbolism. Okay, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon to take peace from the earth, and that there should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. This is also from Obama, him unleashing Muslims and the black people running around cutting off people's heads. What is the Muslim symbol? Is the sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, we know that's justice. That we can go to Obama again, Hillary, Bush. They took away law and order in our country. There is no justice. The Justice Department is infiltrated. It's compromised. It's corrupt. So is the Congress, the judges, there is no justice. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures for barley for a penny, and see thou not hurt the oil or the wine. Now we're in that right now with all the hurricanes that flooded out our farmlands, and now we have a food shortage. Are you getting this? Anybody have any questions?
Hey, I'm hearing you, Charlene. Paul, if you want to jump in here, Joe, jump in here.
I'm going. Continue on.
I heard the voice of a fourth beast say, come and see. And I look and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger and death and with a beast of the earth. Now, you can say we're in that right now, because what they have unleashed on us is all these Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and don't forget the Muslims that they have infiltrated into all of our countries with their refugee policies. And now they want to chop off our heads. We're going to be starving soon. And very soon we're going to have our pandemic, because that's what we're in right now. What we were discussing yesterday was End Time Headline. Bible scholars claim seals in the book of Revelation are broken and the four horsemen are now active. And this is End Time Headlines.
And this was
several Bible scholars, according to Express, are now claiming that the seals in the book of Revelation has been broken and the end of the world is now upon us. There are also believed the four horsemen of the apocalypse who bring death, war, famine, and disease before the return of Jesus Christ has been released as well. These four horsemen of the apocalypse appear in the book of Revelation, where they are marked as the wrath of God. But they are some that believe that these horsemen also an analogy of real life events that will unfold in the future. Now, that, what they're saying is they believe that this was open, this seal, it is broke, because that's what this pandemic is. That's what they're saying. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, it mentions a scroll in God's right hand that is secured with the seven seals, which when opened summons four horsemen that ride out on white, black, red, and pale horses to bring about death, war, famine, and plagues upon the earth. It reads, they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. We haven't had the wild beast attacking us yet, which is, you know, wild animals, birds, lions. In 2005, a Bible scholar named Fred Titato reportedly published an article in the Trumpet, now I believe in the Trumpet, where he claimed the galloping hoofbeats of the four horses are getting even louder and closer, starting that the future pandemic was all that was needed to set free the four final horsemen who would spread the disease to a quarter of the world. And we got this pandemic all over the earth. There's a, anybody want to disagree with this, what I'm reading?
No, you're going on. You're doing good. Keep going.
He went on to say that the four horsemen are depicted in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, as the first four of the seven seals. These seals are benchmarks of end-time events leading up to and including the return of Jesus Christ. With the coronavirus pandemic currently racing across the globe, Mr. Titato claims have come back into the spotlight. Some startling that is proof COVID-19 is in fact the sign of the end times. And one Twitter user stated, the four horsemen of the apocalypse represent a war, famine, and pestilence, and death as depicted in the Bible, Revelation chapter 6, 2-8, are most likely causing the coronavirus worldwide. We don't see them, but we can feel their wrath everywhere. Another added that if the coronavirus pandemic is one of the four horsemen, this virus is the pale horse and the horseman and the third outright claim. The four horsemen of the Bible are currently active. According to the book of Revelation, there are still three more seals to be broken before the coming of Christ. So we'll go back to Revelation. And I looked, and there was a behold of pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him with the power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now that's where they're saying we're at, is with this seal that's broken.
Now they were saying this last June. You were saying it was published last June?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
May.
Go ahead, Charlene.
In the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they had. Now, this is the saints that have been martyred. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, shall not and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until the fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as were should be fulfilled. So that's what the cup comes into. It's where there's a number of people that are supposed to be destined to be saved and they're supposed to be martyred. And he asked me the number. I don't know the number. Only God knows the number of how many people will be saved and how many people will be martyred and when that number is fulfilled. The reason why we're discussing this is because Sue's friend keeps asking about the four horsemen and the seven seals. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I'd like to just point out a clarification. It's my understanding that the pale green horse is the fourth seal. Am I misinformed?
I don't know. I'll just write that to you. The pale green horse. The first one that comes out is the white horse.
And the second seal is the red horse. The third seal is the black horse.
Black horse. And the last one is the pale horse. If we're at the pale horse and that seal's already been opened, all the other seals have already been opened. How can we get to the final, the pale horse and the seal of the pandemic and the famine first? Anybody disagree? Anybody want to comment?
No, that's what you.
But if we're at
the, exactly.
This article, it says we're at the pale horse. That's the final horse that comes out. And that's the one that's with the famine and the death. And one third of the earth will be slain by the famine. See, I don't think they're getting their numbers. See, they haven't been getting their numbers because one third of the earth wasn't slain by the Islam running around killing everybody either. They're not getting the death that they wanted, so that's why they're ramping up this COVID-19, trying to get everybody vaccinated and trying to kill everybody.
And that's going to get you the mark of the beast because it's got the chip in it. And that's what I've been trying to push, that, hey, we're at that point. The Bible's been twisted up, turned around. There's so many versions of it. Man is juiced in on it. Now, go ahead, Charlene.
Even Paul is saying, even the H is removed from hallelujah in the Bible. Now, I can pull out my copy of the Bible, the one I read every day. And hallelujah is spelled with an A now. And we were discussing that, and I think it's that Operation Alice through the looking glass. I think they're meddling with going back in time and rewriting history from when those words were written into the Bible. They have that technology to go back into time. I wish we weren't talking about this.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Charlene, because this is so crazy, because I thought, on our next show, we needed to do Through the Looking Glass. I want to point out something else from earlier. Stu referred to Revelation as Revelations. And now you and I, we never thought Revelation had an S. But I have to tell you that I hear hundreds of people call Revelation Revelations. And so you have confusion about whether it was Revelations or Revelation, and we remember it a certain way. Others are sure it was the other way, and then you have the confusion of people who haven't read the Bible or read it often enough to really remember Scripture. And you know, it's kind of like a phrase like "the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." Well, that's nowhere in the Bible, but of course we've been trained to think that that is in the Bible. And then you get the curious version of Isaiah 11:6, where I never thought that the lion laid with the lamb. I thought that was a secular interpretation, some paintings and so forth. Isaiah 11:6 now says the wolf dwells with the lamb. And a lot of people are saying, hey, it was never that way before. Anyway, I took us off to the weeds, but I do think we ought to do the looking glass, and I think Stu may have a lot to offer on that topic. But let's stick with Revelation, and you're making a case that all of this is already happening, and we're fairly far in to end times, and it may not even be 3.5 years until the second coming. Is that your thinking?
I can't say that. I'm not God. I didn't write the Bible. I can't tell you that Jesus is coming today, but everybody should be prepared that if he does, because if you read the Bible, I was reading the Bible to Sue yesterday about when God does come down I think it was, what was it, Revelation chapter 8 or 9 I was reading to you, when God comes down and they're all hiding in the mountain.
Or was that 18? Maybe it was.
It's wrath upon me. And that's why everybody thinks that Jesus is going to come down and rescue us. No, that doesn't come into Revelation chapter 19.
Right, after 1919, which is Armageddon, which is the war against God.
Yeah.
Just for the listener and for all of our sakes, in Revelation, you've got seven seals, seven vials or seven bowls, and then seven trumpets. And if you're part of the Calvary Chapel, the Assemblies of God, that pre-fib rapture teaching, they teach everything as being linear. So you have to have the seals first, then you have to have the bowls and the vials, bowls, and then the trumpets. So you've got three series of sevens, and it's like 1 to 21. I would suggest to anyone that holds that view that you be really skeptical, because there is no indication that the Bible is a linear document. And one of the guys that helped me understand, I already knew the Revelation was linear, but Joel helped me understand how Hebrew thinking about time is so different, and Asiatic or much unlike Hellenistic thinking about time being linear. And it is true that we all suffer from the iron law of biology. And what that means is we're born, and, you know, until about 24, we keep getting better, so to speak. I mean, we bigger, stronger, faster. And then by about 25, we begin to age and atrophy, or entropy, things break down. Anyway, I just wanted to comment on those things so that people know that what's in Revelation, if they haven't read it recently or are not familiar with it. And so what Charlene is making the point, I think, fairly succinctly, is that all of this is happening, and so few people seem to be aware of the significance of it. And maybe I'm over-speaking, but back to you guys.
Back to you, Charlene.
What's Joe say?
Joe, you want to comment?
Right on, Charlene. Exactly what you're saying.
They didn't have this, if this rapture was true, don't you think the people in Germany in Nazi Hitler times, don't you think they would have been waiting for to be raptured from out of the Nazi concentration camp? This was doctored by Hal Lindsey by the book The Late Great Planet Earth. It didn't even come into play until the 1970s. And what he was using is Matthew 24. What's Jesus telling you? He says, and Jesus answered unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And all these pastors have been deceiving people left and right with their false doctrine. That's why I told you I left all organized Christianity. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to listen to God myself, have my own relationship with God, instead of believing them that just want to rip me off and lie to me. Look, if we were going to get raptured, what about John Hagee and his the four blood moons? Mm-hmm. Wasn't we supposed to get raptured at the four blood moons? See, once these people become, it's apparent that they have made these lies up and their prophecies are failed, then people should quit paying attention to them and not support these pastors anymore. And these people still continue to follow John Hagee and believe this crap, and Hal Lindsey. And if we were going to get raptured, shouldn't we have been raptured by now? By Matthew 24, we weren't even supposed to have been here to believe that, to see these things that we were seeing. And I saw many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And that's what a lot of these pastors are. They're a bunch of con men. They come into the church. You can see this in Catholicism with the priests who are raping these children. Look, I don't believe any of these people anymore. I don't believe anybody. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're there. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. Well, this gospel's been preached for 2,000 years, and if by their standards, we should have been gone by now, right? We've been preaching the gospel to Africa, to in the Middle East, all over the world. And then, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then that which in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And there should be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So now, when you get into this, shouldn't we have been gone by now? We weren't even supposed to see the desolation of abomination. We witnessed that with the Jews a couple years ago when they did a sacrifice in Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, and they were wearing tennis shoes. They had a cut-up lamb in a bucket, and they just threw it on the fire, and that was supposed to be their new temple, and they were going back to their sacrifices. We discussed that a couple years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Go ahead, Charlene. Go ahead.
And for they shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Therefore, if you shall say, behold, he's in the desert, go not before him. He is secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So these pastors use Matthew 24 for that, but if you go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 down, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the great supper of God. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and men that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceiveth them, that he received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So that's when Jesus comes down and he slaughters the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the devil. Okay, so how is there a rapture if that's when he comes? No, that's when they come up with their second coming. Well, there's a second coming. There's a first coming. Okay, so then why am I still here? Why are all these other good people that believe in God still here? What, we were bad? We missed the rapture? Anybody want to comment?
Well, I'm going to give this a shot, and I'm going to try and make it succinct, which is problematic, but... Joel and I are both familiar with a guy named Samuel Untermeyer, and we're both familiar with Jesuit writings of a guy named Lacunza and Rivera and a bunch of other Jesuits that were writing about futurism and all of this stuff back in the 1500s. And then I want to just throw out a couple other names that are familiar to the audience, or at least Joel, Stu, and I, and probably you, Charlene, and they are Sabbatai Zevi and Jacob Frank. And so you have a lot of people in the last 500 years that have suggested that either they could create the context for the final battle against God, or they thought they had insight into it. But let's just talk specifically about the seminary schools and the Scofield Bible and how all of the seminary schools were infiltrated. By about the late 1800s, every institution, whether it be the public schools or the media, or you name any particular institution in society, they had long planned to infiltrate and control the narrative out of the schools, the universities, the seminaries. And so what happened in the seminary schools is they introduced this concept of the pre-tribulation rapture. And many, many denominations, especially American denominations, the seminary schools that the ministers, pastors, reverends were schooled in, they were told, here's how it's going to play out in the end times. And the seminary schools were also connected to the churches that these seminarians would be placed in. And if you were, say, placed in an Assemblies of God denomination church, and there are many, many, many of them, or the Calvary Chapels, and there are many of those too, virtually what I would say right now, every mega church, whether it's Grace to You, John MacArthur's, the Calvary Chapels, or the Assemblies of God's, the list could go on. But all of these ministers, all of these people, when they accept their position, they basically are trained and agree to teach the pre-fib rapture. And it has a big general specific history, where if you were to be in one of those churches and all of a sudden say, well, you know, I don't believe in this anymore, I'm going to teach something different, they're out of a job. Now, it also so happens that you've got other concurrent movements, or movements that are later in time. The modern church is not about saving souls. The modern church, the mega church, is about cannibalizing true believing spirit-filled churches. The modern church, the mega church, seeks to be seeker-friendly. And what they want to do is flood the modern church with a bunch of seekers, with a coffee shop and a happy message. And
big bands playing. And you got to throw in the music too and have the rock and roll playing. Go ahead.
You got it. It's Stu, you're nailing it. And so the modern church is, it's a moth. It's a Henry Kissinger, Peter Drucker. You know, these guys are fairly well known. Peter Drucker and all his people, and then Heinz Kissinger and all his people, they create movements like the New Apostolic Reformation, and what a twisted theology that is. And I won't go into that now. We can talk about that another time. But you did mention John Hagee. We get a guy like John Hagee, and John Hagee is absolutely Mr. Israel himself. And what John Hagee is telling you is it goes back to Paul, our Saul Paul. And John Hagee says there's one set of rules for the church, and that's dispensationalism. And then there's one set of rules for the so-called Jews, or the Hard J's, or the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi, and entirely separate. And you, Charlene, and Stu, and Joel, you guys don't have to worry about the time of Jacob's trouble, because you're not going to be here. Now, obviously, when you sit back and say, well, that sounds ludicrous, I once tried to explain the pre-tribulation rapture. And there was a guy named Dr. David Reagan, and I've actually listened to some of his messages, and I think he's spot on until he gets to end times. And I wonder how he can get end times so screwy when he's got such a solid message. But he said he was going to simplify the pre-trib rapture. Well, 115 pages. I mean, are you kidding me? And it's they start with things like 2 Timothy, where you have to rightly divide the Word of God. And, of course, you know, Samuel Untermyer and Schofield, they knew how to rightly divide the Word of God. And then you get into the blessed hope. And I don't know. I've read that stuff. By the time I was 14 and I read Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, I said, well, this is kind of interesting, but I don't believe this fictional character that they've created, this tugboat captain, this cool hipster guy wearing a leather coat, telling me that I'm going to get zapped out of here. I mean, even at 14, I knew it was nonsense. Now, I knew it was nonsense because I have a couple grandmothers who, they had me through the Bible about 10 times by the time I was 14, which, hey, praise the Lord, man, I'm telling you, that was so cool. I think at one time I could tell you 429 different vignettes. So, you know, if you ask me about Samson or Ruth or Esther or, you know, about anybody in the Bible, I could put it in context and tell you a story and connect dots and blah, blah. So when I read this Late Great Planet Earth, I said, where did these people come up with this nonsense? That being said, if you haven't read your Bible and you don't, you see, the Bible needs to be read in its entirety. And what people love to do is say, I know how to rightly divide the Word of God. I know what the blessed hope is. And what I would say about end times prophecy, and I don't debate anybody anymore about it because it's just so pointless and so fruitless. And the same thing comes with Bible translations. Joel and I have talked about it, and he can share some things too. But here's the point. There needs to be a whole lot of humility when it comes to Bible prophecy. God, for his reasons, hides things. When Jesus came and spoke all those 37 parables, most people didn't understand what he was talking about. They thought, well, what are you saying? And so privately he would explain to the disciples what he was talking about. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. But what happens when money gets involved and criminals get involved and corruption gets involved and incentives get involved, then you create these seminaries that they don't read the Bible. They read what someone else says about the Bible. Then they're told what to think, no one believe. And then they're incentivized by the work that they're going to be doing. And there is no bigger mess right now than the American church. It is the most confused, deliberately messed up, of course, because you flood the seminaries with money, you control the narrative, you preach a false doctrine, and everyone is deceived and confused, and you got about 1 out of 100 so-called Christians that are real believers that understand the true message. And now, of course, I'm claiming, you know, having read the Bible a number of times, I think I get it, and I think it comes down to repentance, and I think it comes down to being washed in the blood of Jesus, and I think it comes down to obedience and a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, what people want to do is they want to make it about the blessed hope that this pre-trib rapture, or you pointed out earlier, I thought, a very good point, and that was, hey, what about these people in China and North Korea? And go over there and tell them about the pre-tribulation rapture and see what they have to say. I mean, they'll look at you like, what are you talking about? And yet, we got a bunch of Americans talking about, hey, are we going to get our nails done, or where are we having lunch after Sunday service? And it's just this, I don't know how to do anything.
Paul, if I may, I think you made your point. Look. The churches are there to fool people, deceive them.
Oh, come on in. Let me pray for you. Let me preach to you. Oh, let's pass the plate before I even start putting on the show. And then let's pass the plate a couple more times. Oh, do you feel good? Well, come on up here and let me pray for you.
Why did they go there? They went there to seek God. What does God say that we're supposed to do when we come together. We're supposed to, first, worship Him. Second, in my opinion, pray for each other. Pray for each other's healings. Not have Popemon up there doing it. Coming together and talking about Jesus Christ and God and praying with one another for healings, for miracles, for help, financial, whatever it may be. That's the body of Christ. And it could be two or more coming together. He's in your midst.
Now, Charlene,
you believe, I believe, Paul believes, Joe believes, I believe, that there's not going to be any friggin' rapture. So let's move on with revelations. Let's move with the plagues and so forth, if you would, please.
Well, we're in the plague right now. This is the fourth seal, the pale horse, and he released famine and pestilence upon the earth. That's why they flooded our storm lands, so we have no food, no crops, so starve. What's going on in Texas right now? Them people ain't got no electricity. They're freezing. Who shut off their electricity? Oh, that's right, the globalists. Oh, that's right, because they want to succeed from being part of America because of communist Joe Biden. So what's going on now is with this COVID crap. They want you to believe that this is a pestilence and that one-third of mankind's going to die. And because one-third of mankind ain't dying from their stupid COVID, so now they want to inject you. Yeah, and them shots will kill you, that's for damn sure.
Now, you're a nurse. You're a nurse. It breaks down the immune system. What is it, 42 to 36, or 36 to 42 months, you're dead, and it's got the chip in it. And what's it doing to people? You've read the stats off. They're dropping like flies right now. Go ahead, Charlene.
These people that are taking, what this does is it patches onto your immune system, right? And it changes it. It shuts it off. I explained it in the simplest terms. Everybody knows what white blood cells are. What is white blood cell? It, when you get sick or an infection, your white blood cells goes and attacks it. Now, let's say these injections actually turns that off, so then you have no immune system, okay? And if you ain't got no immune system, you can't fight off the common cold. So let's say you have all these other diseases. Most of these people that are getting these injections already have autoimmune diseases, arthritis, heart attacks. They got all kinds of problems, diabetes. And these are the people that are dying. They're so surprised by the people that are healthy that are dying. They're having brain aneurysms. They're just keeling over. And
heart attacks.
What these injections do to you. They're not meant to help you. They're going to rewrite your DNA so it does not no longer protect you from any infection or any disease. It shuts it off. So let's say if you get the flu or pneumonia, and when you're older and you get pneumonia, you can die from pneumonia. This will stop. This will turn off your we have an autoimmune system, which reacts automatically to fight infection or disease. This is going to turn it off, and you're going to die from that disease.
Now, there's been a lot of heart attacks. A lot of heart attacks. Go ahead. Now, Charlene,
it's got the chip in it, too, which is the mark of the beast that's in Revelation 13. So I would ask you the question. Could we be at the time frame, the devil changes everything up from what all these different dispensationalism, Bibles, and everything else is, and he does a sneak attack. Hell, I'm going to put my chip in you. I'm going to put my mark in you. I'm going to light you up, make you think it's COVID virus.
Everybody dropping over and dying. For the death that the Bible is talking about is one-third of mankind. Let's say how many billions of people are on the earth. One-third of mankind would die from famine. You're talking 3.5 million people just dropped, billions dropping over and dying. You're going to have dead bodies piled up in the street. They're not getting the deaths that they want. So they're ramping this up. That's why they're coming in for us.
Now,
you understand?
Biden yesterday, while we're on, not to change the subject, but he says he's going to sign an executive order to do what? Take away the guns? Someplace or another, I have a Second Amendment right, God. You want to comment on that, Charlene?
How about Joe?
Joey boy.
No. What Charlene has said is she's reading it to you right from the book of Revelation. My adding to it would be that God is not causing this.
Nope.
They are.
Yeah.
And you leave it at that. They're the ones that are forcing the prophecy.
Yes.
And you can use it as a guidebook to, well, which way is international politics going to go? But
and
don't think, well, I won't say that.
What happens to them? The ones trying to force this prophecy, what happens to them?
Okay, let me clarify something. The best description I have of what happens when you take the shot. What it does is that it releases proteins into your system, and your immune system attacks those proteins. If those proteins are in your bodily organ, it will make mush out of your bodily organ, and you die.
Yeah.
So I would say, they say, okay, one third of the people. Well, already they're administering the vaccine worldwide. It's just not here in the United States. It's worldwide. It's in Uganda, it's in Africa, it's everywhere. So if there is the possibility of one third people dying from the vaccine, not from COVID, but from the vaccine, yeah, that's true.
And what's the vaccine? When the 5G gets turned on, it's going to liquefy the metals that have been in your body, which is the heavy metals that they have been spraying on us, the aluminums and everything from the chemtrails. And it's going to make that turn into, it's going to liquefy into your body. It's going to kill you.
So
is that what you're talking about, Joe?
I am talking about not only with the vaccine, but other things that are going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, it's done silently. They do not want the attraction. That's why we are not. There was one caller that called in to another show, and he was a Spanish nurse in Spain. And one day they gave the vaccine to 49 people died. 49. That's what you don't hear about, and that's what they want. And this fits very well within to what was going on with Trump, with what's going on with the David Goldberg tapes. It is all part of an act. And it is an act that is to eliminate the white man. That's what they want. Once they get the white man out of the way, then they can ravage the coloreds. Who is they? The Jewish supremacist. Why? Because their god is Lucifer. Or the fallen angel aliens is more correct. The Jews are not brilliant because of their own innateness. It is because they are directed by the fallen angel aliens, as in Evelyn Rothschild.
They are actually kind of, if you ask me, because they put Joe Biden in the White House, and he's taking orders from Obama, and Obama wants to revive all of Obama's policies, which is going back into attacking Jews again. That means the Muslims and the black people. That's what's going to happen. So they're going to die by their own hands. And you see Benjamin Netanyahu sitting over there vaccinating all the Jews, the real Jews, the Orthodox Jews in Israel. And what does the Antichrist do? And Zechariah talks about when they set up their, when they make their kingdom, the Antichrist makes his kingdom in Jerusalem and names Jerusalem the capital of Israel, then he starts to go after and kills the people of Jerusalem and kills one-third of the Jews in Israel.
No. Bibi's vaccinated, by the way. By the end of March, everybody in Israel will be vaccinated because of Bibi Netanyahu. Go ahead, Charlene.
All right, now let me comment on that, because if they can take a vaccine and make it worldwide, they can make any kind of vaccine and go up, make it worldwide. Hey, how about the thought that when Fauci took his shot and Biden took his shot, it wasn't the vaccine that was on the inside of the bottle or the needle, it was saline. Think about what I just said.
I know, they're not taking the shots. They
In other words, they'll take the shot, but it'll only be saline.
The great deception.
And they're quite capable of doing something like that.
See, and most of the Christians should know. We've been preached about this for years, that do not take the mark of the beast, and they are lining up taking these shots.
I would like to just add a tangential point. There is a guy who has since passed on. His name is Barry Chamish, and he makes a very interesting.
I've talked to him a few times. I've talked to him a few times. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so maybe you can chime in here.
go ahead.
He says that Netanyahu is kind of like Eisenhower, and that is, he's met with the fallen ones, and they gave him the plan. And in Bible prophecy, you do have World War III, and that's my only big point is, I don't think we've had World War III yet, but I think World War III can't be far away, and that would include the final toppling of Damascus in Isaiah 17, and that would give you Ezekiel 38, and Ezekiel 38, 39 are separate prophecies, but anyway, in Revelation, you got a lot of people dying, and in Ezekiel 38, you've got two-thirds of the people dying in the Middle East. And so a lot of things seem to be coming together, and it's not coincidence, because it is true. They are pursuing the plan. And anyway, I think that at the top you have Zionism and the New World Order, and then you have all of us, the serfs and the peasants, and we're down here on the farm, and we're supposed to believe that they care about us. And I think that, you know, Israel, with the Palestinians, it's probably, I don't know, 14, 18 million population maybe total, maybe more. But I think they're very willing to sacrifice two-thirds of that 18 million. And these people at the top have no compassion, no conscience. They are possessed. They are serving their dark lord.
And were they doing in World War II? Hitler and them were Jewish. They were killing, and who was in control of that was the Zionists, and they were killing real Jews. But let's say there was 55 million people that died in World War II, and they say only 6 million Jews. So that leaves, what, 49 million Christians died? So the Jews, they don't care about killing the other Jews if it gets their plan going.
Now,
okay, let's get let's get something straight about the 6 million. There were not 6 million, because in all of Europe, there were not 6 million Jews.
Yep. All right, Joe.
And there were not 6 million Jews killed.
Nope.
Because there were not 6 million Jews in Europe.
Like you said, 6 million number, like 6 million everywhere, don't they?
They are talking about in Europe. When they talk about the Holocaust, they're talking about Europe.
Okay, how many were killed, do you think, Joe?
Probably about 300,000.
Okay.
Because there is a book that came out. It is called The Transfer Agreement, and it reveals everything. But you have to be very careful about what you talk about, because they can prosecute you criminally for speaking and being anti-Holocaust.
What?
And you have to be careful about what you say. Now remember, here's another statistic. Why were there 3 million Jews after World War II in Europe? And those are Red Cross statistics.
Yeah, and then see, Encyclopedia Britannica in 1934 would be a very good source to figure out, well, how many are there that claim to be practicing Judaism or the Talmud in Europe? And they came up with a number of 3.6 million. I mean, come on. We are just got so much disinformation.
Can I add something there, Paul?
I have a question for you guys. We are at the hour mark, and I think we ought to wind it up and maybe do another show.
We can go past here for a few minutes just to conclude this. Now, here's where I want to go. Charlene, you were talking about the fact that Adolf Hitler, and that point on, bring us from there forward, in your opinion.
What do you mean?
Well, you were talking about how he slaughtered. Now, let's look at what happened right after the slaughtering of these so-called 6 million Jews, which is
because they're not really their kind anyway, because these people are from Kazakhstan. They are from Kazakhstan. They don't care. They're European. That's why when they returned back to Israel, one of the Jewish people or the Palestinian people said, "This is the first time you ever see that when the Jewish left." When the Jews left Israel, they left, they were black, but when they returned, they were white. So they're not really, they're Pakistan or Akhenaki, they're not the real Jewish people. Now, the real Jewish people, there have been several tribes that stayed there, the tribe of Benjamin and Judah, stayed in Israel. But who were the people that went to Israel after World War II? They were the Nazis. They were the ones hanging out with Hitler.
They went over and slaughtered 400,000 true Hebrew folks. True Hebrew. The old Hebrew bloodline. DNA by a professor at Hopkins University, John Hopkins, and I believe it was, and a university in Jerusalem. I had a video up for a while, and like everything else, it disappeared. I should have saved it somehow. I didn't have the money for the software. Here's the point. It was up there on my site. And he did a 5-year study, about $5 million, and did DNA of the Palestinians and the ones in Israel. He found out that 92% of them in Palestine had true Hebrew bloodline, the old Hebrew bloodline, where those in Israel, 92%, were not. Now, this was a recent study. This was like 3, 4, 5 years ago. About 5 years ago, I think it was. Now, here's my point. They came in and slaughtered 400,000 Hebrews to take over and fly a flag and call themselves the State of Israel. Look at the satanic symbol that's on the flag. Is that a star of David? Oh, I don't remember David having a star. I think that's kind of fictitious. Now, we go on and move past that. 400,000 people in mass graves. Now, the UN recognizes them in 1948 as the State of Israel. Go ahead, Charlene. Pick it up, please.
What does the Bible in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9 say? Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them lie at your feet and worship before thee, and knowing that I have loved thee. So God, it's even in telling you in the Bible, right there, Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, that this is the synagogue of Satan. The Star of David, there is no Star of David. If you read the Bible, it tells you that they are worshiping the Star of Moloch. You're going to have to go watch a program. It's called The Key of David. It's up on YouTube, and why most people don't understand Bible prophecy. And you will understand that there are 12 tribes of Israel, and we are one of the tribes. The black people are one of a tribe. The Indian people are one of a tribe. The Mexicans are one of a tribe. We all are a tribe of Israel. America, white people are Manasseh. England is Ephraim. So you're going to have to go watch the program to understand that we lost our history and who we are. And that's why they're after us. Even if you go watch Rabbi Abraham Finkelstein, what would he tell you? He says, the one dude that's interviewing him says, well, I read the Aramaic text and the Babylonian text, and there is one race that wins, and it is our race. And he goes, that's what your book says. Our book says, we're going to fly out into space. We're going to fight your God. And we're going to win this time. Now, if they are our brethren, why are they trying to fight our God? And that's the war that they're making right now with God. Let's say with this space force.
Now, they're the chosen people. Huh, I'm John Hagee. I'm this one, I'm that one. They're the chosen people. They're the chosen people. Are they really?
There is real Jews. They're the real Jews. That's who they're planning to kill. They got to kill them too. But see, I feel bad for them.
Just like the Palestinians.
I really feel bad for them for one reason. They hate us so much that they are stupid enough that they're going to be slaughtered by their own people that they thought were their brethren.
Now, what's really funny is they're all going to be vaccinated in Israel by the end of March. And what else is why did Donald Trump, because of his son-in-law, I think he's a Mossad agent, Jared Kushner, convinced him to put an embassy in Jerusalem. That would make Israel, Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Isn't the Antichrist supposed to rule from Israel, from Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Now, why did he do it? His son-in-law, the Jew, convinced him to do it. That was a violation of the Camp David Accords with Jimmy Carter and Sadat and whatever his name was, the Prime Minister of Israel.
Begin.
Yeah, Begin. Now, they've all died. And by the way, Begin, I think, what was the name that was signed the Accords, Paul?
Menachem Begin.
Yeah.
And Sadat, they were
wrong. Barry Shamish and I talked about that. We talked about several things because he wasn't a believer in Christ at the time. I don't know whether he ever became a believer, but he was a reporter in Israel. And I had stirred up the crap on Denver, and there were some ties to Israel that I handed to him on a silver platter, and him and two other reporters' assistants with him. One of them was born again, and she's the one that contacted me by phone, telling me that they all got in trouble big time over something that they wrote about that I gave them. But she wanted to thank me. And she was telling me, oh, Barry doesn't believe in the end time prophecy. He doesn't believe in Christ. I said, but she says, I do. But I remember Barry. And he did a lot of good work, folks. I didn't know he was dead. He was living in Florida last time I knew.
I think
he had to move out of Israel.
Well, guys, I'm fascinated by what we're talking about, but I think we're up against the length of the recording. What do you guys think?
Yeah, let me interrupt you, Paul, before we get down there, because just to help Charlene. There are two men, there's all different kinds. Think of the word Jew. It is really a Yiddish word using lowland German sounds with Hebrew letters. There is the Yiddish language. That was the language that the Ashkenaz used. The Ashkenaz are the descendants of the Khazars. The Sephardic Jews are not. They do have Hebrew blood in them, but they are a minority in Israel.
Exactly.
Very good point. Now, if...
And they taught as Christians that the Jews are the chosen people of Israel. For what purpose? So we can be their slaves. Because you can talk about the... they want to go back to the no-tithe laws where they have us as slaves. They all each get 2,000 slaves or whatever. And what is the Noahide laws? That's after Noah landed the ark. You're talking about getting into Nimrod. And who was his father? King Cush.
Let me help you out, Charlene. The Noahide laws, there's no specific Noahide laws that are in Genesis. It is a gathering up of laws. It essentially is what the Ten Commandments said, minus the first four commandments. However, it is something that has been brought about into the political arena by the Chabads.
Yep.
The Chabads are very, 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 very powerful. And there are different reasons for that, but I won't go into it. But the Chabads are the ones that are behind what they call the temple cult. I had a priest in my Anglican church that could speak five languages fluently. He was educated in Israel. He personally told me that the temple has been rebuilt. In other words, it was a project to practice building the temple, and it is in the Dead Sea desert area someplace. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to take sections of it and then put it in Jerusalem. They can't, because there's a problem. Because the Temple Mount, what we call the Temple Mount, was really a Roman cohort. In other words, 5,000 Romans were on top of that. That's where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is located. The Temple Mount, the temple was not there. They now know, and Israeli antiquities and the really scientific archaeologist will tell you that the real temple is in the city of David, just south of what we call Temple Mount. So what does that mean? Can they rebuild the temple? Probably they could, but it will be in the wrong place if they do, because they want to build it at the top of Mount Zion. So that eliminates that, because the real temple is in the city of David. They know that pretty well now. So what does that mean? Well, that means that something is being mixed up here among the Chabads, because they are the ones that are running and are very closely associated with Putin, Netanyahu, and everybody else. They are a very powerful group of people. They are the ones that Jared and his wife belong to. And as a matter of fact, there are people that have said that Trump converted to Judaism a long time ago.
Yeah, he's a Jew. Yeah, he's a Jew. He's Jewish.
Anyway, a lot of significant things have happened in the past few years that have brought us to this point, to where I'm still convinced this is Revelation 13 with this chip. Now, how the Bible unfolds, where we're at, we're seeing all this stuff. We see HARP. We see chemtrails. We got 5G lighting us up. Going to kill us. They're trying to irradiate us. They just steal a presidency in front of us. And now they're writing executive orders. They're going to take away your guns by the end of the year. And they're going to force us to be chipped so we can die. Sorry, that's not going to happen with me. Any last comments, Joel? Paul, Charlene? Go ahead, Joel.
Let Charlene go ahead.
Go ahead, Charlene.
What do you want me to say?
Whatever you want.
He keeps talking about Revelation 13.
I would say, yeah, go ahead, Charlene. Yeah.
I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like feet of a bear, and his mouth were a mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat of great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if they were wounded. That's the head wound to death. And this deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And what there was given unto him, mouth speaking great things of blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell upon heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over his kindreds and tongues and nations. So he will keep talking about Revelation 13 and the battle of the saints where they were coming after us.
Can you mute?
I would say Revelation 13 is a good place to go for those people who are wondering about Revelation that are dispensationalists. Revelation, I think, 13 is the one that sums up everything that is in the book of Revelation of how things are going to go.
Okay. One other part here. Read about the mark, Charlene. Read the part about he forces them to take the mark of the beast. Read that part, please.
I came upstairs, so give me a second because the dog is barking at someone came. Amazon came to the door.
Here, let me find it. Let me find it.
Didn't you hear my dog barking?
Yeah, I heard the dog. Hold on, folks. I got my Bible here. It says, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Now we know...
Okay, chip number 2060606. Yeah.
That number, and then there's also a house resolution with the same 60666 stuff.
Now, if we are not living in this great deception,
chip into your brain, when you are taking the COVID test and they are sticking that Q-tip stick up your nose, they are sticking it into your brain, and they are releasing their nanoparticles or nano dust, and that's your chip. So everybody taking this the test, the COVID test, you have now been microchipped in your brain.
Or you can go get the vaccination, get microchipped. If you survive it and your immune system doesn't melt down and you're dead in 36 to 42 months. Or die of a heart attack, which tons of people are doing within 2 weeks. We talk about this all day long, but I think that we all kind of made the point. So I'm going to ask everybody to make a last comment. Paul, Joel, Charlene.
I think this has been a very important show. If the listener has received some insights, I think that it has merit. Please pass it along. What we're trying to do is get the information out, and we are up against a media juggernaut that does nothing but deceive. The world runs on deception, and they just don't lie about a few things, or many things. They lie about everything. And I am encouraging everyone to be skeptical, to be cautious, and absolutely get in your Bible. I recommend right now the Gospel of John and Isaiah. And if you get through those two, and you can probably do them in a week, you can probably do them in a day if you really want to spend 6-8 hours. But the point being is that once you have that basis, I think Revelation and Daniel might make more sense. That's just my observation, my closing comments. Love that you guys have included me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Joe, do you have any last comments?
Okay, I'm going to close it with this. This is not the end of the apocalypse, the destruction that COVID has brought about. 50% of the businesses in the United States have now closed. 50%. You can't have an economy with that. There's going to be a second, more powerful destruction that is going to, they're going to drill it in July, and then they'll probably implement it right after that within a couple of months. And it is going to be a cyber attack. What kind of attack on cyber? I don't know. Go to Whitney Webb, Unlimited Hangout, and read the article, because it's coming, and it's going to be worse than what we're going through right now.
And believe me, I got a website, and I see there what they can do with cyber terrorism. Now, what a way to cut freedom of speech. They're already eliminating everybody on Facebook, on Twitter, who posts anything about these vaccinations, that don't take them or whatever. They're kicking them off. This is freedom of speech, First Amendment right, being totally violated, all because of a pandemic that they want to create to kill you. This is intentional. Now, they're sitting there, Joey, saying, oh, well, I took away your First Amendment right, freedom of speech. Now I'm going to give it your Second Amendment right, gone out the door, because I'm signing executive order to take all the guns. And I'm going to sign an executive order soon to make sure everybody in America gets vaccinated, like my buddy Bibi Netanyahu is doing to Israel. We're out of time, folks. You better wake the hell up. Charlene, you got any last comments?
Everybody who has gotten a vaccine and who is sick and does need healing, I ask you to pray this prayer, and I'll pray for you right now.
Go ahead, Charlene.
Put your hands together and believe God, or whatever you want to do. As Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I humbly beseech you today, Lord. Every brother and sister in God that has been affected by these COVID vaccines or damaged, brain damaged, heart damaged, insides damaged, or anything that they need, please, I ask you in Jesus' name to help them and heal them this day. And in the Bible, I'll read you the scriptures. Psalms 118:17. I shall not die but live, and shall recount the illustration of the works of the Lord. My son, attend to my words, consent to my sayings, and let them not depart out of your heart. Let them not depart out of your spirit. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all guard, for out of it flows the issue of life. I'm asking God to heal everybody who has been affected, and I'm asking Him in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Joe. Everybody have a good day.